Well, hi there. Here we are again. This is Volume 7, Number 10. Looking for Change. Our scripture is found in Mark 10, 17 through 31. This is often called the rich young ruler. If you've been around anything of Bible teaching, you've heard about the rich young ruler who came and asked Jesus some questions. And that's what we're looking at now. Looking for change. Are any of you looking for change? Are you looking for a change in your life, in your circumstances, in how you want things to be and what you want things to become? Well, you know, Jesus had just started to go to another location when a certain young man approached him with a question which must have been burning in his mind. He was looking for change. And Jesus took the time. You see, Jesus, the one who made time, took the time necessary to encounter the young man to answer his question. Jesus recounted to him much of the law of Moses. And the young man assured Jesus he had kept all of which he had been reminded, saying, "All these things I have kept since I was a boy." But when you come across Jesus and you have an encounter with Jesus, there is always change. And let me challenge you, because along with that encounter, there will be a challenge. When you encounter the Christ, there's always a challenge involved in that encounter. Interestingly, Jesus both encounters the young man to answer his question and to lovingly He challenges him. We know it was loving because Mark tells us Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus was there with all who were there because of love. You see, God is love. Why is the whole reason that Jesus was there? Why did Jesus come? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Jesus was not sent into the world, did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. So there was Jesus. He is God. He is the Son of God. And he is love. Now this was the challenge Jesus gave this young man. He said to him, "Go, sell everything you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Now, you know, for centuries, this scripture has been used to say that we believers are supposed to be poor. People get this part of the scripture and they go, "Well, see, he told the rich young ruler to go sell everything he had." God's not against people having wealth. He's not against people having riches. There's a difference. The rich have a lot of money but still have to work for it. The wealthy have a lot of money and don't have to do a lick of work in their life. That's the difference. And God's not against that. If you look in the Old Testament, you will find God's leaders were all very wealthy people. Very wealthy in the day in which they lived. But now we have to look, and Jesus said this, at the man's response. And I'll get to explaining this in a minute. The man's whole expression changed. His face fell. You see, when he heard what Jesus said, "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." The man's whole expression changed and his face fell. This demonstrated his attitude and beliefs. You see, you could see his attitude and beliefs just in how his whole countenance changed when he heard that. That isn't what he wanted to hear from Jesus. Maybe he wanted to hear, "You have been so good. You have kept all of these things. How wonderful you are." But Jesus knew that unless he has all of a person, it's not good enough. You can't live with one leg on one side of the Jesus fence and another leg on the other side of the Jesus fence. You're either in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom. You want to be in the kingdom because that's where the protection and the treasure of heaven is located. That's where you will grow and you will not be subject to the will of Satan, because you will be in the kingdom, and Satan has no power in the kingdom of God. Now, you see, we've seen how just his countenance changing demonstrated the attitude of this young man. The next thing we learn is the man's behavior due to his emotion. Now, his emotion was, oh no, that's not what I wanted to hear. So what did he do? Now comes the behavior. He left Jesus. How many people are there in the world who have decided to leave Jesus because there was something that seemed more appealing or more attractive to them on the other side of the fence, in the other kingdom? We're not to look back at the other kingdom. When we come into the kingdom, we're to stay in the kingdom, function in the kingdom, be in the kingdom, be with the Lord, doing the Lord's will and the Lord's work. We're his friends. He says that. He says, I call you friends in John 15. You see, this young man left Jesus when he didn't hear what he wanted to hear. Now, I will tell you something. Had he stuck around, he would have. But he didn't hear all he needed to hear. He didn't remain there with the Christ long enough to hear the blessing of the promise. You see, he left the side of the Christ. So therefore, he didn't hear about the blessing and the promise for following Jesus. All he learned was what he saw as loss. I will tell you, every day I encounter people who are so concerned about their losses. You know, fear of loss is a greater motivator than a desire for gain. And people, for some reason, because they are so tied into their own understanding, they lean on that, and they utilize the five senses that God gave them, but forget that those senses have a place, but they are not the final authority in this life or eternity. Our spirit, we are a spiritual being temporarily inhabiting a body with a soul in the body. That's the mind. The soul is the mind. This is a temporary thing. This is within time. And remember earlier I said that the one who created time made time to spend time with this young man. And when the young man heard what he didn't want to hear, he left Jesus. I would say if you're hearing things and they're not what you want to hear, you need to hear more. You need to understand more. You need not make the mistake that this young man made, and when he didn't hear at first blush what he wanted to hear, he walked off. Had he remained, he would have learned so much. Now, first of all, let's take a look at the blessing. Had the young man stayed long enough to allow Jesus to finish the lesson, he would have seen that fear of loss would have been replaced by the joy of gain. Gain of what? Gain of the kingdom, which means gain of the blessing, with more than he could have ever possessed on his own. All this would have been in this life and eternity. You know, so many people only read part of this scripture here in Mark 10, and they only read part of this, and somehow they have decided, because of that one verse about selling all you have, that means That shows your dedication. Well, yes, it does. But then they think they will get nothing in return until one day they mercifully die and end up in heaven with God. I will tell you, my friends, Scripture does not bear that interpretation out. You've got to stay with Jesus a little longer. You've got to put that Scripture into context. You see, the loss that he was so concerned about having would have been replaced by the joy of gain. And you know, there is joy in that. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're functioning in this world without joy, there's a change going on in your life, and it is all bad. Because you have no strength. You don't have the strength for gain. Because you're so tied up. So bound up with fear and the things of the world. You know, if there's fear in your life, fear of loss in your life, what's really missing, do you know how you get rid of fear? Now, be careful, because you're going to say to yourself, faith is how you get rid of fear. No, it's not. The Scripture doesn't say faith gets rid of fear. The Scripture says perfect love casts out fear. If you have fear in your life, fear of loss, and this young man evidently had it, he didn't have perfect love. You build up love in your life, and fear will go by the wayside. Why? Because God is love, and you'll have all of that in the kingdom with God. So, no matter what you give up for Christ, there will be the joy of gain. Gain of the kingdom. Now, again, don't confuse and think I'm just saying that this is something way out there in the future. You see, you'll also have the gain of the blessing. The blessing that's on Abraham comes onto you with more than he could ever. This young man would have had more than he could ever have possessed on his own. You say, well, how do you know that? Stick with me. Don't be like the young man here and walk away. You stick with me. You see, all of this would have been his in this life and in eternity. The young man's desire to maintain control over his own life would not permit him to trust God. You know, control is a big issue in people's lives, because control involves trust. We must trust God. That's what belief is, trusting in, relying on. We must trust God. You see, lack of trusting God to bless is even greater in the rich, because they are accustomed to controlling and maintaining more than the poor are accustomed to controlling and maintaining. I know a family quite intimately that are very, very, they are really beyond rich. They are wealthy. They work because they just choose to. They like making things happen. But they would never have to work another day in their life, nor would their children. And when it became known how wealthy they were, fear set in. These people are not close to the Lord. Oh, I know that every now and then they attend services, but they don't rely on God. They rely on their money and their own wit. And they're used to controlling and maintaining a lot. Now, we're talking people who could very well be billionaires. And they became so concerned that they left the nice homes that they had, and they went outside of town, and they built a family compound. And they moved inside this compound with an 8-foot electrified fence with all sorts of electronic devices and everything, in order to make sure that their children and grandchildren weren't kidnapped. You see, they felt that they had to depend on themselves for their own protection. I'm not saying that sometimes it's not wise to take certain precautions, but they became so full of fear. There are many other things I could tell you that have happened in that family. But I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is that they were so consumed by controlling and maintaining their own environment and their own life that God didn't play a big part. Now, before you start thinking, well, now, that's the people in the world, and look at all they have and how little people in the kingdom have. People in the kingdom, listen to me now, people in the kingdom have little because they choose to. Because they refuse. They refuse to allow change to happen to bring the blessings of Abraham into their lives. Because they're comfortable with little or nothing. And as a result, much of what they can do is little or nothing within the kingdom. How many times have you heard people say, oh, I'd like to be able to do this or that, but I can't, you know. Oh, I'm not one of those people with that kind of money. Because they see, money rules their life rather than God. God created everything that creates wealth. Do you understand that? Do you understand that all the gold God created, what would make you think that only the ungodly could possess gold? What would make you think that only the ungodly could possess silver or fine gemstones or anything of any great value? What would make you think that? Who would want you to think that? One who wants to control you and maintain you in a paralyzed position. Your adversary, Satan, wants you to think that. So at any rate, this young man walks off from Jesus, does not hear the whole story, because he's heard enough that fear has set in, and he can't give up what he has, because he thinks once he gives it up, he will never have it again. You know, before you think it's just rich people like that, I know poor people who won't give up $5 because they act like they'll never see it again. You know, I know poor people who spend more time talking about money than rich people do. As a matter of fact, if you can't pay your bills, you spend a lot of time thinking about money. To the point that you start turning to money to solve your financial problems instead of God. Jesus told this young man what to do. If that would work for a rich man, why don't you think it would work for a poor one or somebody in between? Now, the disciples expressed their concern as we're going through here. The disciples could not understand, having only heard part of the teaching at that point, how anybody could be saved. Now, as you know, I teach very strongly that the word saved in the Greek means saved, healed, and delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from demonic activity, delivered from poor health, delivered from poverty. If you're a believer, you've been delivered. But if you never unwrap your deliverance, if you never accept the blessings of Abraham, you won't have them. It won't happen. So here were the disciples. They've only heard part of the story. And now they're worried. Who could be saved, healed, and delivered? Jesus informs them when they said, well, you know, no man can do this or that. Jesus informs them, all things are possible with God. Now let's just look at that. Let's look at Jesus' response there for just a minute. All things are possible with God. All right, now let's make a list of the things that are not possible with God, but just based on that piece of scripture. It says all things are possible with God. Now think in your own mind. Now what are you facing? And of course you may have decided they're not possible with God because you don't know how God would work it out. You don't know how God would do it. But yet Jesus said all things are possible with God. But you see, the important thing is you have to remain with God. The rich young fella, he walked off. He left Jesus. He didn't get the whole story. Do you know we have millions of people in Christendom right now who've never gotten the whole story. what they've heard is they're supposed to be broke, busted, and disgusted. And one day, mercifully, God will either come back and catch them up in the air, or they will die and it'll all be over. Boy, that is not the gospel. That is not the good news. That is bad news. The good news is all things are possible with God. The good news is that when you're in the kingdom, the blessings of Abraham come on you. Now, unfortunately for the young man, he was no longer with God. Jesus was left with just those who were with him to tell God's plan of this life and eternity. Now, hear me, this life and eternity. Now let's talk about sacrificing. How many times have you heard, oh, give till it hurts? Now this is not a message about money. That's not the intent of this message. But money has to be involved in it. How many times have you heard that? Oh, I've heard people say, now give till it hurts and you're going to feel good. You know, anything I've done till it hurt never made me feel good. But there are things I have to do that hurt, that I might not be comfortable with in the natural. But this I know, that any sacrifice made where God is concerned will be rewarded. Any sacrifice. God rewards all sacrifice with a return of more than was sacrificed. Do you think God is broke? Do you think God is sick? Do you think that God hasn't been talking to you lately because, you know, he's got the flu? Huh? Do you think he's so busy blowing his nose that he doesn't have time to listen to you? Do you think his throat is sore? What do you really think about God? You say, well, no, that is just silly. Why would anybody think that? Well, do you behave as though that's true? If you behave as though that's true, then that's what you think, whether you realize it or not. Now, what does Jesus say? I think maybe, as believers, we need to look at what does Jesus say about this? Well, in verse 29 of Mark 10, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Well, I think now at this point we have to decide, is Jesus a liar or does he tell the truth? I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, Mark's saying to us here. Quote, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Oh, I thought everybody was being taught that was in eternity. Now, wait a minute. These are the words that are in red in some Bibles. Let me read that again. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel, that's the good news, will fail. Let me just stop right there. No one will fail to receive. No one will fail to receive. And how much will they receive? 100 times as much as in this present age. 100 times as much. When? Now. In this life. It doesn't say later. Jesus says in this life. And what will they receive? Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them, persecutions. Some translations say tribulation. You know what? Trust me, when you have these things, people are going to be mad at you. They're going to say all sorts of lies about you. They're going to say, well, now they're a Christian and they shouldn't have that. They ought to sell all they have and give it to the poor. That's what Jesus told the young ruler to do. Oh, well, yes, he did, didn't he? But then what did he say later? He would have gotten it all back 100-fold. That's what he says. Right there. When? In this life. He does not say back in eternity. There he says, in this age. That's this life. Now listen, in the age, and in the what? Age to come, eternal life. So he says, you're going to get it now, and you're going to get it later, and it's going to be the blessing, and it's going to be good. Now, how in the world can anybody read Mark 10, 17 through 31, and decide that it is expressing to every Christian that they ought to sell everything they have and live in poverty and just wait for the Lord to mercifully come get them one day and get them out of this misery? There is nothing. That is not in there. That is not in there. But you see, the devil puts into the world lack, and therefore the world has fear of lack. And let me tell you, if you're going to live in the kingdom, if you're going to live in the kingdom, don't walk off from the kingdom. If you're going to live in it, then accept the blessing of it. Do not put a shield up against the blessing of God. Why would you do that? Why on earth would people do that? Makes no sense to me. Makes absolutely no sense to me. He says that you will have this in the present age and in the age to come, eternal life. So now what are you going to lose if you do what Jesus instructed the rich young ruler to do? I will tell you, I know of Christian after Christian after Christian that is all the time getting come against by media and by all sorts of people because of all the wealth that they have. And you know, when you go back in their life, they started in ministry cooking in a coffee pot. They had a time come up in ministry where they had to put everything they had into the ministry, and now everybody's angry at them in the world because Jesus kept his promise? Now I ask you, has Jesus ever asked anything of you? Well, he did, because he asked the same thing of you and I that he asked of the rich young ruler. This rich young man, who walked off in the middle of the teaching, decided it meant poverty, just as the world has, and just as so many people in Christendom have, because they, for whatever reason, they didn't grasp the rest of the story. All they heard was, oh, there's loss, there's loss, there's loss. I'm not going to jump into that. You know, I'm going to go hedge my bets. I want to go to heaven, but boy, I'm going to live here. You know, I'm going to use the world system, and I'm going to do what I can in the world system. The world system will never reward you in the way that you will be rewarded. Because not only does God reward you in this present age, He rewards you in the age to come, eternal life. You say, well, all those rich people looks like Satan's rewarding them. Well, he might be. But he's not going to reward them with eternal life. He's going to reward them with eternal death. You decide. I know my choice. I choose life. You see, I choose life. Jesus is the way of change. If you want change in your life, you've got to follow Jesus' prescription. If you're not in the Word, if you're wringing your hands and you can't figure out what to do or how you're going to do it, and you're not spending any time in your Word finding out from the Word how it works, why don't you just give up on that and just go ahead and admit you're just going to live in the world? But if you're going to live in the kingdom, then live in the kingdom. And let Jesus show himself faithful. He started out there saying, I tell you the truth. How many Christians believe that it's as though he said, I now am going to tell you a lie, but it'll be nice because you might want to hear it. That isn't what he said. He said, I tell you the truth. Jesus is the way of change. If your life is in the tank, if it just seems so defeated and you seem so miserable, Jesus is the way of change. So if you're looking for a change, Jesus is the way for that. Live in the kingdom. If you claim to be in the kingdom, then live like you're in the kingdom. Don't put one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Slide that foot out of the world, come into the kingdom, and live in the kingdom. Jesus is the way of change. Listen to his whole teaching and follow him if you're looking for a change. And that's my message for this session.